This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we are on the 23rd night of the month of Ramadan. One of the very holy, holy nights of this month. And the fact that it coincides with Thursday evening, the day of Jumu'ah, means that subhanAllah just adds to the holiness and the significance of this night. Very well could be Laylatul Qadr. Very well could be that night that is better than a thousand months. So may Allah grant us all the strength and the ability to do as much ibadat as we can. Ameen. We have one question. A sister asked, may Allah grant, a grandfather passed away a few days ago. May Allah grant the man Jannat al-Firdaus, and may Allah grant all those who are in the qabr right now ease and comfort. May Allah bless them, and may Allah put barakah and happiness in their grave. The question was, what happens in the grave? And it was more in relation to the three nights, seven nights. We said, those issues, we don't perhaps have, there's no information, that's not part of the Sharia, but we have a very long hadith about what happens the day, the moment that we pass away. And this is the journey that all of us will take. All those of us who have passed, those who have passed away, have taken. And this is the journey that we would take. This hadith is a long hadith. It's called the hadith of Bara ibn Azib, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And he says that on the authority of Bara ibn Azib, who said, we the Sahaba went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a janazah, to bury a man from the Ansar who had died. And we reached the graveyard. And he sat till he said, and he still had not been placed in the, so the dead person was not yet put in his qabr, right? So they're sitting around the grave, it's open, and the dead man is being brought, and all the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ are sitting at the qabr. They sat down, and we sat around the Prophet, peace be upon him. So Sabara said, you would have thought the birds were upon our heads for how silent and still, that we're sitting so quietly and still, was so completely silent, as if the birds were sitting on our head. And in the hand, the Prophet, peace be upon him, had a stick, and he was moving the stick around in the sand, poking it. And suddenly the Prophet looked up into the sky, and then he looked in the qabr. And he looked up in the sky, and he looked in the qabr. And he said, seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. Seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. And the Prophet said, A'udhu billah, may Allah protect us from the punishment of the grave. He said this three times. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued, and he said, verily the believing soul, the good soul, when he's just before he dies, what happens? And he journeys into the next life. Angels start to descend from the sama, and the man can now see the angels. That's not of the angels that descended. Alright, so then the person is about to die. Moments before he dies, the angels descend, and they are beaming bright like the sun, and they are smiling at him. And they will have with them in their hands a kafan, clothing from Jannah, and embalmments from Jannah. And they will sit within Aisha, meaning they're sitting, he can see them in the distance, but they're not coming closer. Then the angel of death will come. And the angel of death will sit by the head of the person. And he will say gently, kindly, the angel of death is saying, O pious, virtuous soul, O Muhammad, O Fatima, come out to the forgiveness of your Rabb. And come out to the pleasure, the happiness of Allah. Come out and meet the pleasure of Allah. So the soul will become excited, and the soul will then leave the body like water pouring out of a jug. And this angel of death will not keep that soul in his hand, even for a second or a blink of an eye, except that the angels who are now carrying the kafan will come forward, and they will wrap the soul up in the kafan, the clothing of Jannah, and they'll put the embalmments of Jannah. And he will smell better than any smell that is on the face of the earth. And the angels will congratulate him, and they will welcome him. And then they will say, come, we need to take you up the samawat. And they will start ascending up the samawat, higher and higher and higher. And as they ascend, they will pass by many groups of angels. And every time they pass a group of angels, the angel will say, wow, what a lovely smelling soul this is. Who is that? And the angels who are with him will say, this is Ahmad or Fatima, the one who used to feed the people that were poor. This is the son of so and so who used to make salah, that earned only halal money, that never harmed anyone. And the angels will praise you with the best possible names that you were in the life, until they will reach the barrier of the first sama. And there they will ask permission to enter into the next summer, and permission will be given. And so the soul will ascend into the next summer, and this will continue up and up and up through the seven samawat, all the way to the top. And then Allah Himself will say, and the soul will hear Allah, and Allah will say, write the book of my, write in the Illiyin, the book, the register of the good souls, put his name in this book. And what will explain to you what is Illiyin? Illiyin is a register fully inscribed to which bears witness those who are close to Allah. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. And his book will be written in Aliyin. And he shall be said, return. Now then Allah will say to the soul, return him to the earth. For I promise them, I have created them from it, and in it I shall return them, and from it they will be resurrected a second time. So the soul will be taken down, and his soul is returned into his body. And this is before he's taken to the maqbara. So his soul is now brought back into his body. And he will hear the footsteps. Now the soul is aware. SubhanAllah, can you imagine this moment when you're in your body, and you're aware of your family carrying you? You're aware of the footsteps around you. And they are leaving, and right, so they're taking him to the grave. And if he is a good soul, he will say, hurry up, take me to the qabr, take me to the qabr. Then when they put him in the qabr, and at that moment, they close you up, you're aware of it. And you will hear the people around your qabr, and you will hear the footsteps departing one by one, until the last person leaves. Now you are alone in the qabr. And when that moment comes, two angels will come down, and they will be very scary looking, Munkar and Nakir. And they are black and blue and green in very harsh colors. And they will sit him up next to him, and they will ask him very sternly, who is your Rabb? And he will reply, my Rabb is Allah. And they will ask him again, what is your religion? And he will say, my religion is Islam. And they will ask him, who is this man who was sent among you? He will reply, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they shall ask him, what have you done in the dunya? And he will reply, I read the book of Allah, and I believed in it, and I accepted it. And they will continue asking him again, who is your Rabb and what is your religion? They will test him over and over again. And Allah will allow him to answer. Whatever language it is, he will answer. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited this verse from the Quran, where Allah says, Allah will establish and strengthen those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world. So, meaning in this dunya and in the next. So he will answer, my Lord is Allah and my religion is Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my Prophet. Then a caller will call from the sky, and this could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, my slave has spoken the truth. So spread out for him from the heaven, right? So make his grave wide, and clothe him from Jannah, and open a door for him from Jannah. Then a door in your qabr will open up, and he will see into Jannah. And the breeze and the fragrance and the joy of Jannah will come in. So you'll be able to see what's happening in Jannah. And its goodness and smell will come into him. Then his grave will be expanded as far as he can see. And then someone will enter his qabr with him. A beautiful looking person will come with him. And his clothes will be nice looking, and he will smell nice. And then he shall say unto him, I'm coming here to give you good news of that which will make you happy. Right? And this is the day you've been promised. Then we will say, who are you? Why are you here in my qabr? Who are you? For you look good and you have good news, but who are you? And the stranger will say, I am your deeds. As you carried me in the dunya, as we were together in the dunya, I will be your friend here in the qabr. Then he shall say, now the man will look at his place in Jannah. And he will say, my Lord, my Rabb, let Qiyamah begin. Let Qiyamah come so that I can enter Jannah. The Prophet then said, as for the soul that is wicked, this is the soul that was good. As for the one who dies and his soul is not good, what's going to happen to him? So then the angels will descend, and again from in eye shots, and as he's about to die, he begins to see these angels coming down, and they look terrible. Defigured, deformed, dark, burnt, and they will carry with them burning clothes from Jahannam, and they will smell terrible, and they will scare him from afar. And then the angel of death will come to his head, and the angel of death will be harsh, and the angel of death will say, come out now, O transgressing soul, come out to the anger and the punishment of Allah. And the soul will retreat into the body, but the angel of death will bring it out with fury, like that cotton being dragged through thorns. May Allah protect us. And the angel of death will not keep the soul for a second, except that the other angels will wrap it up in this clothing of Jahannam, and they will put on it the embalmments of Jahannam, this burning stuff, and a smell will come out from the soul that is so terrible, so disgusting, that none of the angels want to touch the soul. And he will be taken up now to the Sama, and every time he passes by angels, they will say, "What terrible smelling soul is this?" And the angels will say, "This is the soul, this is the person that cheated, that used haram money, that did all the haram, that forgot Allah. This is who he is, this is who she is." And they would say, "Don't bring that soul near to us." And the soul will then go up to the heavens, and he will reach the first Sama. And the angels will say, "No one in the Sama wants to see the soul. No one here wants to meet the soul." And the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And those who associate partners with Allah, they are as the one who falls from the sky, then is snatched by the birds and is cast by the wind in a very low place." Because Allah will say, "Now return the soul to the qabr. We don't want to see it." And the angels will hurl the soul into the body. And he now enters the body. Now can you imagine again this soul's position, being returned to the body and being away, he's going to the qabr now. This is where he is. And he gets taken to the qabr, and he gets buried there, and as he knows, as everyone begins to leave, what's going to happen? When the last person leaves, now the angels of the grave come, wake, they enter his qabr, and they ask him those questions: "Who is your Lord? What is your religion? What is the man that came to you?" And his answer will be, I don't know. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that this person has transgressed, he has disbelieved. So his name will be written in As-Sijjin, the book of those servants, or those people who are transgressors, As-Sijjin. And then his qabr will be made tight, and will be compressed. And someone will enter his qabr that is terrible looking, and smells bad, and the man will say, "What is this thing?" And they said, "This is your deeds. I am the result of your life. As we were together in the dunya, I'll be here to torment you in your qabr." And he'll be punished in the qabr. Then a window will be opened up to Jahannam, and he will see inside Jahannam. And even though the qabr is squeezing him, and this man is punishing him, when he sees Jahannam, he will say, "Ya Allah, don't let Qiyamah come." He will rather stay in the qabr being punished like this than go to what he sees of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. This is the journey. There's only two paths here. There's no in between. All of us will take this journey, and all of us will have one of these two destinations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a good life and a good death. May Allah take us in a state of iman, and may our death be the beginning of a better life for all of us. Ameen. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. And we spoke about Dhul Qarnayn and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And we summarized, basically, we went through the story very quickly. So we said Dhul Qarnayn is this man that traveled to the east, he traveled to the west, and he came to a place between two mountains, and he met different types of people. And at the place between two mountains, he built a barrier to trap a group of people, or a creature, whatever. We'll talk about what Ya'juj and Ma'juj is tomorrow, but he blocked them up behind a dam. So what do we learn from this? Now let's go into a bit of an analysis. Most scholars mention that Dhul Qarnayn was a great king. He was not a Nabi, he was a great king. Some say he was a Nabi. And therefore they ask, well, if you had a king that was so powerful, that traveled so extensively around the world, surely history would have mentioned such a man. And therefore some have said perhaps he's Cyrus the Great, who was the founder of the Persian Empire. He was good to Bani Israel as well. He returned them to Jerusalem. Perhaps it is him. Some have said he's Alexander the Great, and this is wrong, cannot be Alexander the Great, because Alexander the Great was a pagan. So definitely not Alexander the Great. This is a fabrication. But the bottom line is, and what we learn from Surah Al-Kahf, is Allah has not mentioned who this man is. He could have been a king from any other land. He could have been from the Vikings. He could have been from South America. Allah alam, what king he was. Whether he even was a king, he doesn't mention in the Quran. Whether he was just some person that could travel. And what we learn from Surah Al-Kahf, it's not important. The detail is not important about who he was, where he lived, when he lived. But rather what we learn from his story. Now, we said Surah Al-Kahf is about protection from fitna through blessing. Blessings that will test you. And the blessing that Dhul Qarnayn was given was extreme power. Now there's a saying in English, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That if you had the power like Dhul Qarnayn, 99.9% of the chances are you would be corrupted through it. And if we look at this, we look at the rulership, the leadership of today throughout the world, we have to say, للأسف الشديد, you know, sadly, the rulers and the kings and the presidents of this world leave a lot to be desired. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, a time will come where the people that rule you will be like devils, like the hearts of devils inside of humans. This is close to Qiyamah. The kind of people that will rule us will be shayateen in human form, basically. And that their worst kind of leaders are those leaders who you make dua against them and they make dua against you. You hate them and they hate you. And they are very few, but the best of leaders are those leaders you love. And they love you, and you make dua for them, and they make dua for you. Now, what leaders do we make dua for? And what leaders do we love? Subhanallah. Now, this is the sad reality of the time that we live in. So, Dhulqarnain is an example of what leadership should be. And if we just take only a few ayat about Allah, this is only a dhikr, a short mention of him. One, the first thing that we learn from him, when Allah says, we established him in the earth, he mentions that his power and his strength comes from Allah. مَا مَكَّنِّي رَبِّي. What my Rabb gave me, my power, my position, is only a test from Allah. It is only a gift from Allah that is taken today, can be given to someone else. And we remember this from the hadith of Musaylamah. Musaylamah, the false prophet, once wrote a letter to the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, Ya Muhammad, be fair. Split the world in half. You take half, I take half. Right? So the Prophet, peace be upon him, wrote back to Musaylamah. He says, so Musaylamah said, from Musaylamah, the messenger of Allah, to Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, let us be equals in this affair. So the Prophet responded, and he said, from Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, to Musaylamah, the liar, all of the world belongs to Allah. Nothing to me, nothing to you. And Allah gives of what He wants, to whom He wants, of His servants. Power is from Allah. Today, and subhanAllah, we know this in the country, a few months ago, some person that thought was invincible, today, subhanAllah, he doesn't know his future. How quickly Allah turns over the rulership. So Dhulqarnain understood this, and he realized that my power is only temporary, I need to use it for good. Blessings, you have to use it for good. If you have it, the only way to discharge that test is to do it for good. How did he do it? He established justice. Those who do evil, we punish them. And those who do good, we leave them and we give them do justice. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said this beautiful hadith. Once there was a very to-do lady, high class lady, she stole. And the law of the Sharia is if you steal, what must happen? Just cut your hand off. They said, subhanAllah, you're going to let the minister's wife or whatever, some high profile lady, let her hand be cut off. You know, a lady from, I was told not to use Bishop's Court, so I'm using it too much. A lady from Clifton, and how can we allow this to happen? So they told the Prophet ﷺ, intercede. They sent Usama, his beloved Usama, go speak to the Prophet, tell him to be merciful on this lady. So when Usama spoke to the Prophet, said, Ya Rasulullah, bend the rules for her, relax the rules for her, she's a high class lady. The Prophet ﷺ became very angry and he said, oh yeah, Usama, do you want me basically to change the rules of the Sharia? This is the reason why previous nations were destroyed. Why? When the high class people committed crimes, they weren't punished. But when the guy, the low, small guy, when he committed crimes, the law punished them hard. And then he said, wallahi, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad ﷺ, would steal, I would cut her hand off as well. That this is the rule. So Dhulqarnain practiced this justice fairly, that everyone is equal under the law. Then number three, what we learn from him, and again for our leaders and those of us in positions, he had a vision. And he traveled around looking for things where he could fix the world, problems, he was proactive. And when he found a problem like Ya'juj and Ma'juj, he had a vision, okay, we have a plan. And he explained his plan step by step to the people. But he said, I can't do this on my own. Remember? If you remember the story? When they said, yeah, take money. He said, I don't want your money. But what do I want you to do? I want you to help me. That we are together in this. So you want houses to be built? You want more schools to be built? Do it together. Work with the leadership. Work together. That we have a plan, a vision together. We work together. And as we said, he didn't look for any personal gain. No one should enter positions of leadership to advance themselves. Dhulqarnain said, I'm not doing this for further money. And the last thing, and something for us to think about, as we said, he was a proactive leader. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says to all of us, we are all leaders. All of us are shepherds. And every problem we see, one of the big fitnas, now we relate Surah Kahf, it's not just something there in the sky, we relate it today. We look at the many fitnas around us, the issues in Bukhab, the issues in Palestine, the issues in Syria. It's very easy to point the finger and say, no, that's the president's problem, that's the ulama's problem, that's the youth's problem, the rich one's problem, the poor one's problem, that's their problem. our Sharia teaches us to be proactive. Dhulqarnain, this man, went to lands that he wasn't from, to people that he didn't belong to, people he couldn't speak to. And he said, look, how can I fix things? When we hear of schools in Khayelitsha, for example, that are underfunded and not doing well, that should worry us as well. Even though it doesn't affect my community or me personally, but it affects the whole world. And this is the lesson we learn of true leadership. You lead together this ummah and the world, in fact, into goodness. And that is what we learn from this man, Dhulqarnain. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about the dam of Dhulqarnain, this big barrier that he built. Where is it on earth? I check Google Maps. Where do I find it? And we ask, who is Ya'juj and Ma'juj? And we know, of course, that they are related to the end of times with Qiyamah. They're one of the 10 major signs of Qiyamah, sign number 3. So who are they? What are they? And what are the other signs? And how does this fill in into the end of times and with Surah Al-Kahf? We'll discuss that over two parts, inshallah. So we see you tomorrow, inshallah. Questions? Dhulqarnain translates as the man with two horns. Two Qarns, two horns. And tonight's question, what is the name of the register or the book of the good souls? We said that when the soul is good, Allah says put his name in a certain book. Is it Illiyin? Is it Sijjin? Is it Ya'juj? Or is it Dhulqarnain? What is the name of this book? Jazakallah khair. We will have our prize giving on Sunday. For those online, you can go visit the website to answer the questions as well, burhanul.org.za. Fitra, 40 rand, fidya, 10 rand. And we have our Qiyamul Layl program, 9:30. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.